is the Angry GM, and it is time for yet another proofread aloud right at the last possible minute, the last workday of the month. Here comes the proofread aloud for the last article of the month, an article that is going to be published immediately when I am done proofreading aloud it. And then I will be doing a Q&A. I do have a live studio audience in the Angry Games Discord studio. Say hello, everyone. You know, be loud. Let everyone know you're here. Excellent. So we're going to get started. I'm going to go ahead and read the article, and then I will follow up with a Q&A session for whoever actually makes it through to the end. All right. This article is entitled Roll Initiative. This article is yet another lesson in my True Game Mastery series. If you haven't been following the series, consider starting from the beginning as each lesson builds on the last. Use this link to the handy series index to get started, and then there is a link to the handy series index. Time to take the kid gloves off. In lessons past and throughout my writing, I've always included reminders, recaps, and reviews whenever I've called back to my past writings. The farther back I call, the more detailed the reminder. But it's to the point now in this series where everything's a callback, so I can't do that anymore. Fortunately, I'm a brilliant guy and a skilled instructor, and I knew this point was coming. Thus, I clearly named and labeled my ideas, and I've repeated myself a lot. Hopefully, I've fixed a bunch of concepts in your brain so they're easy to remember at the table and to recognize when I call back to them. The point is, you should know what I personally mean whenever I say, invite the principal character's player to act, follow the declare, determine, describe cycle, speak only facts, build an action cue, describe intentions and inceptions, and leave action bits on the cutting room floor. I ain't recapping, reviewing, or rehashing any of that shit anymore. If there's something on that list you can't passably explain, go back and review the appropriate lesson. How to manage combat like a true game master. Welcome back, Acolyte of the Way of the True Game Master. Today's a fun lesson. The first of two fun lessons wherein I'm going to teach you how true game masters resolve combat. In this first lesson, I'm going to reveal one of the greatest game mastery secrets of our age. What initiative really is, and how to use it right. Some of you ain't gonna like the answer, but I ain't here to make you happy, so suck it up, Buttercup. As noted in the long, rambling introduction, this lesson builds on pretty much every lesson that's come before. If you don't have this true game mastery shit down cold, you ain't ready for it. So review what you gotta review, then come back. Today, I'm gonna show you how to use everything you've already learned to properly call for initiative rolls. And in the next lesson, I'll show you how to use everything you've already learned to pace and narrate combat properly. Just be ready to break your game system. Rules for they, not for you. As I mentioned way back when I started this, this series is system agnostic. I ain't trying to teach you to run Dungeons & Dragons or Pathfinder like a true game master. Instead, I'm showing you how true game masters run any game they pick up. Any fantasy adventure game, anyway. Remember, the tabletop role-playing game systems, especially the modern ones, are written so mere game executors can crap out perfectly okay games. As such, most modern systems' gears tend to grind when a master's behind the screen. Lots of you are going to complain that my way of handling initiative is wrong, that the rules of your system of choice say differently from what I do. Remember, you're not here because you want to execute a game system according to pre-programmed rules. You want to run a great game like only a true game master can. If your system's rules are in the way of following my advice, change them. Don't wait for me to fix them and don't ask me how to change them. Just bring the system you're running in step with the way you want to run the game. That's what true game masters do. Being a true game master ain't easy. Do the hard thing. Combat defined. Sort of. Before I can tell you how to use the skills I've taught you to resolve combat like a true game master, I must teach you how to recognize combat when it's happening. And note that I'm picking my words with care here. True game masters don't run combat encounters, they resolve combat. True game masters understand that game mechanics are inherently limiting, and that mechanics that fill combat chapters are especially limiting. True game masters, for example, know that it's almost impossible for a rogue to sneak up behind a guard and knock him out or shank him under the rigors of attack and damage roll rules. And true game masters know it's lunacy to use similar rules to resolve the breaking down of doors. My point is, unless you're really, truly resolving an actual combat, you don't want to pull out any of your combat resolution tools without an exceptionally good reason. There are other, better tools. So I ain't trying to rigidly define the word combat so much as to provide guidelines you can use to gauge whether it's time to break out the combat resolution toolbox. When your player's characters declare their intention to resolve a conflict by way of violence with an aware and roughly equal opposing force, pop open your toolbox because you're resolving combat. Those are the conditions. Let me break them down. Resolving conflict. When multiple creatures or groups, hereafter called forces, have opposing goals, conflict arises. For example, when the player's characters want the monsters to be dead and the monsters want to not be dead, there's a conflict. Likewise, conflict occurs when the player's characters want to stop the ritual before its completion, and the cultists want the ritual completed. Players are violent and stupid, and they rarely think through their goals. There's nothing you can do about that, and it ain't your problem. Your job as game master is to know why the non-player characters are fighting. Are they fighting for survival, defending a lair, proving honor, earning glory, stealing treasure, acquiring food? What? True game masters always know why the opposing force is fighting, partly because it changes the non-player character's tactics, holding a line is different from kill or be killed vengeance, and partly because when the non-player characters don't have a reason to fight worth dying for, they ought to stop fighting. Violence. Combat occurs when the opposing forces are willing to use violent force to get what they want. It need not be deadly force. You can fight to capture, disable, dominate, or terrorize, but it must be force. Moreover, combat occurs when opposing forces are willing to injure or kill and to risk injury or death. Injury and death are at stake in every fight, which is why true game masters don't piss and moan about how combat shouldn't be fought to the death. Sorry, pancakes, if you go into battle, you're risking death. That's what a battle is. The point is, true game masters know that every creature in the fight is thinking, I want goal, and I'm willing to injure or kill and to risk injury or death for it. And true game masters must assume each player's head is harboring the same thought. That might not be the case, but if a player's character enters a battle and dies, that's the player's own stupid fault. When players choose violence, their characters might die. End of story. I just need to change my possessive form there, and it is fixed. Roughly equal. When it comes to violent conflict resolution, the opposing forces must be on roughly equal footing. They must be of roughly the same scale, scope, and power. If 15th level heroes launch themselves at first level goblins, that ain't a combat. It's a massacre. A slaughter. And no true game master would open their combat resolution toolbox for that shit. Hell, they wouldn't even call for die rolls. Likewise, if the heroes are climbing all over some ancient god being, Shadow of the Colossus style, to find a glowing spot into which to stab an ancient relic, that ain't combat either. It's something, and it definitely demands die rolls and action resolutions, but it ain't a fight. Neither is the standard Spartans versus the entire army in the narrow pass setup. Only a dumbass would use initiative orders and attack and damage rolls to resolve that shit. Aware. These conditions, awareness included, arise from the simple fact that combat is only combat when the combatants are willing and able to fight, or at least to defend themselves. If you don't know something's about to attack, you can't fight back. And if you can't fight back, you ain't fighting in combat. And if you ain't fighting in combat, the combat resolution tools don't apply. This is why true game masters don't call for initiative rolls until after the ambush is sprung, and likely after some injuries are inflicted. And while some game systems have rules for ambush and surprise vis-a-vis turn order and combat resolution tools, they are mostly unnecessary and crappily written attempts to shoehorn non-combat situations into the combat chapter. True game masters don't want anything to do with that crap. They just describe what the characters are aware of and invite the players to respond. Suddenly, a flight of arrows arcs into your formation, dealing damage. Only then do you see the goblin archers in the brush across the clearing. They're readying another volley. Ardric is at the front of the formation, bristling with arrows. What does he do, Adam? Okay, and now we need a brief description for a sidebar called No One Is Just Waiting for Their Turn. Crappy turn-based role-playing video games and miniatures on gridded maps have taught game masters that combat consists of creatures standing around waiting to take their turns. And that mindset makes it impossible to resolve combat properly. Consider first that everything really does happen all at once in a fight, or nearly so. In one round of combat, upwards of 8 creatures can each dash the length of a small house, 30 feet, draw a weapon, drive that weapon into a foe, withdraw it, ready it for another strike, and deflect multiple blows with the haft of the same weapon, or a shield, or a secondary weapon. And all 8 flurries of activity happen in less than 10 seconds. Consider second that no one just stands there and takes an impalement to the gut. Everyone's doing their level best to actively dodge, deflect, turn aside, and roll with every attack. That's why defensive scores factor in things like agility, shields, and parry bonuses. And that's also why you don't generally use attack and damage rolls outside combat. Both assume an active back and forth exchange of offense and defense between fighters. Combat resolution tools are only for resolving combat. Willing-minded and able-bodied combatants only. If the combatants in a battle aren't willing and able to fight a battle, there's no battle, and thus the situation can't be resolved like a battle. It's that simple. If the players don't know they're in a fight until after the characters get jumped, the characters aren't willing and able. If the monsters are wholly incapable of defending themselves, or simply cowering on the ground whimpering and begging, they aren't willing and able. And while god beings take action, while god beings can take actions to remove the flea-like heroes crawling on their carapaces, they aren't battling those things any more than you battle mosquitoes. Rolling initiative. Initiative is a pain in the ass. Most mere game executors, and many would-be true game masters, have some pretty effed up ideas about initiative. They think it's synonymous with combat, for example, or that initiative and turn order are the same things, or that initiative is something you can be in. None of that's my problem, though. I ain't here to unteach you the wrong shit. I'm here to tell you how it is. So forget whatever you know about initiative and whatever you've read about it in some dumbass rulebook. This is how it be. initiative, and turn order. From here on out, when I say initiative, I'm talking about whatever mechanical system exists in whatever rule set you're running for determining who acts first, particularly in combat. I am not, however, talking about turn order. In many role-playing games, initiative establishes the turn order for either an entire battle or for an upcoming round. But they ain't the same thing. And neither initiative nor turn order are things you're in. The initiative tool. Initiative is a game mechanical tool. It helps you, the game master, decide which action to resolve first whenever there's uncertainty about the order of actions. And that's all it is. If you ascribe anything more to initiative, you're bad and wrong, and you should feel bad. Initiative's just the tool you use when multiple creatures are all trying to act first, or act as quickly as possible. That's why initiative's the first tool you pull out after combat starts. That's right, you don't roll initiative and then start a combat. Combat starts, and then you roll initiative to resolve the first uncertainty that arises in almost every battle. Let me explain. When a fight breaks out. There are no combat encounters. Rather, encounters usually, turn to combat. Imagine the party's delving into some dank dungeon when suddenly they encounter a pack of wandering goblins pillaging the same dungeon. An encounter plays out. Suddenly someone, maybe a goblin, maybe the idiot rogue, does something that makes it clear to everyone they're willing and able to injure and kill, and they're acting on it. The specific details don't matter. Maybe the fight breaks out immediately when Ardric yells, "Goblins, charge!" Maybe it comes after a tense back and forth as the goblins and the party measure their chances against each other and the goblin leader decides they can win. Maybe it comes after Cabe utters an unspeakable insult because he can't speak gobbledygook for crap. Doesn't matter. And I'm going to interrupt here because I have to put in a thing about gobbledygook. I feel really bad about this one. A couple of articles ago, I used gobbledygook as the term for the goblin language. And everybody thought that was hilarious, and it became canon in many people's heads. But the truth of the matter is that is not my joke. I didn't come up with it. It's just like the original joke is sort of subtly hidden. The joke comes from J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter series. And although I don't think it's ever explicitly stated that gobbledygook is the language of goblins, there is a scene where Hermione, I want to say it's in the third book, The Prisoner of Azkaban. There's a scene, or the fourth, the one with the time turner, so Prisoner of Azkaban, where Hermione is listing the ancient languages she's studying in her wizarding languages class. And among the languages she lists are Mirmish and gobbledygook. And obviously Mirmish is the language of merfolk, you have to infer gobbledygook is the language of goblins. But it is J.K. Rowling who decided that gobbledygook is the language of goblins, and I like that joke so much, I stole it for myself, but I'm now admitting it to my followers here. Anyway, the specific details don't matter. Maybe the fight breaks out immediately when Ardric yells, "Goblins, charge!" Maybe it comes after a tense back and forth as the goblins and the party measure their chances against each other, and the goblin leader decides they can win. Maybe it comes after Cabe utters an unspeakable insult because he can't speak gobbledygook for crap. Doesn't matter. What matters is that everyone sees that initial call to arms, and suddenly everyone's pulling weapons or lunging or digging out spell components or repositioning for a clear shot or setting their stance to take an attack. Whatever. Everyone truly is doing everything all at once. Or rather, everyone is trying to do everything before everyone else. And anyone who isn't is in for a world of hurt. That's when you call for initiative rolls. You know everyone's chosen to join the fight, but you don't know how long it takes anyone's brain to unstick from, oh shit, we're doing this, and you don't know how long it takes their entire brain to receive that message, and you don't know how long it takes the brain to push the message down all the nerve pathways and into the muscles, and you don't know how fast those muscles can move. Kids, this is called reaction time. It's a real thing. And that's what initiative models. How long it takes a character to get from, crap, we're fighting now, to withdrawing a blood-soaked blade from a goblin's corpse. And now a sidebar. Why you can't ready actions outside of combat. And I just have to correct a little formatting issue. It'll just take me a second, so I don't really even need to, break. I just need to keep babbling so that I don't leave a big lull of silence to get cut out. I guess if Rattlecrash would cut it out, I guess I could have just left it and then it would have been cut out. But, you know, I made my choice and here I live by it. Anyway, now that sidebar I was telling you about. Why you can't ready actions outside of combat. I'm often asked, why can't my character ready an action outside of combat to trigger when combat starts? And the answer is in seeing initiative as reaction time. No matter how prepared you are for something to happen and how ready you are to respond, your brain still needs a finite amount of time to perceive the trigger and signal your body to act. And your body needs time to move. Yes, we're talking fractions of a second. On average, a quarter to a third of a second for very small actions, like pushing a button you're poised to push when a light lights up. But split seconds are everything when everyone's racing to act first in the same few seconds. No matter how prepared you are, when something happens, there's a limit on how fast you can move, and there's always a faster fish out there somewhere. Starting fights right. Given my above explanation and last week's lesson, you're armed to start fights right. Hell, I even gave you an example last week of how, precisely, to handle this initiative crap. Once someone, player's character or non-player character, initiates an action that communicates a willing ability to injure or kill, you freeze time, describe the inception of the action, and build an action cue. And I need to capitalize describe the inception of the action because that's an angry term. And I always capitalize my angry terms. Once someone, player's character or non-player character, initiates an action that communicates a willing ability to injure or kill, you freeze time, describe the inception of the action, and build an action cue. And once it's clear from the action cue that a fight's really happening, you call for initiative rolls, drop all the action bits from the queue after the initial frozen moment, and then start the fight. So the GM says, at Cabe's words, the lead goblin's face goes from red to mauve. How dare you, he sputters. Kill them, he screams, pointing with his vicious curved knife. Pointing with his vicious curved knife. The goblins start forward. Ardric is front and center. The goblin commanded his fellows to attack, and they clearly mean to. Adam, how does Ardric respond? Ardric's sword is already in hand. He'll stand fast to receive the goblins. Ardric readies himself for the fight. Cabe is standing behind him. Chris? What did I say? Screw it. I'll palm the daggers in my sleeve and start flinging steel. Sputtering at the misunderstanding, Cabe palms a pair of daggers. Beth, Beryllia is behind her companions. What's she doing? I guess I'll cast Protective Ward on Cabe since he's on the front line and the goblins seem really pissed at him especially. Beth grips her staff tightly, calling a spell to mind. Let's roll initiative, everyone. The goblin's sudden onslaught has caught all of you off guard. Ardric barely has time to set his shield, and Cabe can't even pick a target. I put the word tarpic in there instead of target. The goblin's sudden onslaught has caught you all off guard. Ardric barely has time to set his shield, and Cabe can't even pick a target before the leaping, snarling goblins are upon them. Daggers lick out, Ardric turning them aside, but Cabe takes a nasty slash for 5 slashing damage. As the pair hold off the onslaught, Beryllia does what, Beth? Interrupting the action. Okay. Because I've gotten a few questions and comments and stuff about these examples, and I'm going to go ahead and address them right now, right here in the middle of the proofread aloud for all you who listen to these things. Okay. I have been asked how different these examples I write are from my actual narration. Okay. And obviously there is a difference between extemporaneous speech and writing and then rewriting and editing. Okay. That said, many of my players will tell you that within the bounds of, you know, like removing ums and uhs, this is how I narrate. The GM in these quotes is me. And if you listen to me running a game, you would recognize me in that. Okay, just to be clear, you can learn to do this. It takes practice. It ain't easy, but you can learn how to do this. And especially, there are certain tricks I use, which I will convey next time, like the thing about, you know, describing one action and then trailing off to the next player, and then like doing the dot, dot, dot thing. As the pair hold off the onslaught, Beryllia does what, Beth? Inviting a player to complete the sentence, kind of a thing. And also re-describing everything so players don't describe stuff, which I will also address next time. Anyway, interrupting the action. It might occur to you that all this rigmarole is just a drawn-out way of getting the players to commit to a fight before you call for initiative rolls. And in essence, it is. But it's worth it. First, this method builds investment the same way building an action queue does. It leads to a better flowing, better feeling game. And that's better than a faster game. But second, this method gives the players one last chance to cleverly stop a combat before it starts. For instance, the characters might just nope the hell out of the fight. They might run. And you don't want them penned in by strict timing and turn order rules in that case. Characters can forestall combat in other ways, too. They can throw food at hungry monsters. They can yell, "Wait, don't hurt us, we'll give you treasure." You don't want the dice running the pacing show when players interrupt the action with a clever plan that just might work. And when a player declares a clever forestalling action, you've got to use your game mastering brain to decide what's possible. Can Cabe dig some jerky from his stowed backpack before the bear charges the party? Or before Ardric charges the bear? If the bear's 20 feet distant, probably not. But if it's across a 60-foot clearing, that's fair game. Of course, trying to forestall a fight can be risky as hell. But before I lead into the next heading, there is another sidebar. Ceding control to the dice. You learned last week how to control your world's clock and your game's pace by building an action queue and then using your best judgment to decide what to resolve when. When you rely on initiative and turn order rules, you're giving over that control to dice and pre-programmed systems. That ain't something to do lightly. There are good reasons to rely on initiative rolls to settle uncertainties about who does what and when. And there are good game design reasons to impose strict turn orders in combat, too. I don't recommend rejecting either, and over the years I've developed a mistrust of systems that lack either initiative or turn order or both. Sorry, Dungeon World. That said, I have no problem not using either tool when I've got a good reason not to. Initiative and turn order aren't special. They're just game mechanical tools. But game masters should understand exactly what's at stake before screwing with them, and most don't. And then I lost my place. Okay. The unaware, unwilling, and unable. Combats are fought between aware, willing, and able combatants. An initiative determines which combatant stabs first. So what do you do when you've got creatures itching to fight the unaware, the unwilling, or the unable? Creatures that don't know they're in a fight can't fight. They're vulnerable. And man, do I ever miss the flat-footed rules for just that reason. If a whole force is caught off guard, you ain't resolving a combat. Just resolve whatever happens until the force becomes aware, and go from there. Suddenly, a flight of arrows arcs into your formation, dealing damage. Only then do you see the goblin archers in the brush across the clearing. They're readying another volley. Ardric is at the front of the formation, bristling with arrows. What does he do, Adam? Really, that's just an encounter that announces its presence with an opening salvo. The first frozen moment of awareness is when the arrows start hitting. But what if you've got a mix of oblivious pacifists and ready, willing, and able fighters on one or all sides of a brewing battle? It's like this. All the aware and able combatants are racing to act as quickly as possible. Anyone not in that race to act isn't going to win it. Nor is anyone who's chosen an action that forfeits a place in the race. In such a case, you assume all the combat actions, for at least the next round, come all at once in the action queue and resolve the other actions around them. Which means the non-combatants don't need initiative. You know they ain't beaten anyone to any punches. GM says, the goblins attack, what do you do? Adam says, Ardric fights. Beth says, Beryllia yells, stop, we have treasure. And Chris says, Cabe, we run the hell away. Chris says, Cabe runs the hell away. The action queue has Beryllia trying to forestall the fight, Cabe fleeing, and Ardric and the goblins all trying to kill each other all at once. So the resolution looks something like this. As Cabe dashes past her toward the edge of the clearing, Beryllia shouts at the goblins. In their rage, they ignore her words and charge. Ardric is ready to meet them. Adam, roll initiative for Ardric while I roll for the goblins. The point is to avoid locking anyone down with initiative rolls in turn order unless they're actually in a fight, and to treat the fight as one mishmash of simultaneous action relative to everyone who ain't in the fight. And when someone wants a fight all, and when someone wants to join, I missed some words there. And when someone wants to join a fight already in progress, say Beryllia jumps in after the first round's resolved, they can roll initiative to see where they come into the chaos. And when someone leaves the fight, you can resolve that crap however you have to. When Cabe flees into the brush, for instance, you can cut to his panicked flight through the wilderness after the fight's done. And if a goblin splits off to chase him, the two can have a merry little pursuit and evasion thing unfettered by strict timing and turn order rules that make such things impossible. I know this sounds like a giant-ass mess, but it's not. It's just an extra dimension to the action queue. Some actions, combat actions, compete for the same spot in the queue. Other actions happen around them. And yes, this is a good argument for rolling initiative at the start of every round. Thank you for noticing. Really complex situations with fighters fighting while other actions happen around them are rare. But managing initiative as a timing tiebreaker for combat actions competing for the same spot in the queue is really powerful. It opens up a lot of possibilities that most games' dumbass timing and turn order rules cut out. It lets characters cover their allies' retreats. It lets characters flee before the fight starts, or try to. And it lets characters make desperate attempts to stop a fight from breaking out, though that's not without risks. Moreover, it lets you use initiative outside combat whenever you have actions stacked up in the same place in the action queue and need to know what happens first. Like when two characters dive for the same gun, or when Ardric wants to punch the king and Danae wants to hold him back. Thus, the real secret is that initiative isn't a combat rule at all. It's just a way of determining which simultaneous action happens first. And now we have to go back for one last sidebar called What Idiot Wants to Fight? Very few living creatures with brains in their heads actually want to fight when they don't have to. Predators don't want to fight. They want easy kills. Guards don't want to fight. They'd much rather scare interlopers away. Soldiers would be much happier if enemies would surrender or rout. Players are the bizarre-ass exception, mainly because modern tabletop role-playing games overload them with resources and make recovering from anything trivially easy. You have to accept that your players are kill or be killed idiots. But you absolutely should not run your non-player creatures that way. Every second in combat increases the risk of crippling injury or death, even for the combatants on the winning side. And the world is a violent place. No creature can afford to walk away from a fight with a crippling injury. Tabletop role-playing games used to have reaction rolls and morale checks and other crap like that to ensure that, given half a chance to stop fighting, most creatures will make it easy for their foes to give them an out. What did you learn in school today? Let's recap what you learned today. First, you learn to only use the rules in the combat chapter when resolving violent conflicts between roughly equal forces of willing combatants. Consequently, while you can never be sure what's going through your idiot players' heads, you must always know what the non-player combatants want and be sure they're ready to injure, kill, risk injury, or risk death for it. Second, you learn the initiative, or you learned initiatives all about figuring out which action to resolve first when everyone's racing to act at the same time. Because combat actions are so close to simultaneous that split-second reactions spell the difference between kill and kilt. Third, you learn to freeze time at the moment someone does something in an encounter to convey their willingness to kill or be killed, and then invite the players to declare responses that affirm or decline their participation in the inevitable fracas. Fourth, you learned initiative only resolves the action order for aware, willing, and able participants in a fight. All other actions get shoved outside the combat round on the action queue, or shoved off camera to deal with later. And all of that crap's just the natural consequences of everything I taught you last week. Technically, I didn't teach you anything new today. I just interpreted shit and drew conclusions. And the next lesson's just more interpretation and conclusion as I explain how I already taught you to pace and narrate combat. See you then. And that is the proofread aloud, which I am then going to cut off here, and I will be back in short order with a supplemental Q&A. And otherwise, see you all next week.